Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
Center of the galaxy, this is Four Center Podcast Feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Rank. Meet a guest, ranking things in Star Wars, and we are continuing our Favorite Lines series. And to do that is the man who's been listing favorite lines with me, Joseph Scrimshaw.
It's all I ever do. It sometimes just speak to other friends. All I do is just tell them a list of my favorite lines from anything. Just a random episode of Cheers. Here's my five favorite lines. Honorable mentions, of course.
Yeah. It's kind of what you have to do. You can't have, even amongst friends, you go out for some fast food, that becomes a debate about which fast food hamburger is the best. So it's the life we live in. You know.
Exactly. Things must be ranked. And these are very, very fun to rank. It's such a great and different way to look at and think about the films.
It absolutely is. It's been a fun journey. We are doing it in release order, which almost was a clerical error when we started this. Joseph and I started looking at the original trilogy, so let's go back to the prequels. And then here we are in the sequel era. Instead of going 7, 8, 9, I've been having a lot of fun, Joseph, of trying to just transport my mind back to the time and even the day these movies were released or I saw them the first time. So we're going to 2016 with Rogue One. Are you having that experience too, or is it just my weird mind that I'm just like, I more than any other time we've discussed these films, I'm really reliving them.
I think as there, some of them are getting farther into the past. I think for me, the experience I'm going through is thinking about how they've lived in both my imagination and the cultural imagination Because like for most of them, I think without rewatching even a second of the films, I could come up with five lines.
Yeah.
But then looking at them from the perspective of like, well, what are the lines that really hold the meaning of the film? What's just a weird line? You know, what's a line that means a lot to me? What's a line that I can't leave out because it's one of the most popular, well-known lines? And that, I think, has been such an interesting filter to just, like I said, think about how they live in my imagination, but also just the general culture.
Yeah, you're right to touch on like all sides of the conversation, so to speak, and picking these lines. When it comes to Rogue One, Force Center listeners probably know some of the lines that you and I might be discussing because we've referenced them many times, both the absurd and the profound. and some of those lines are going to pop up here today. But there's some lines that popped out to me on this rewatch where I'm like, yeah, the nostalgia for 2016 is already present. Like it already feels ages ago. Yeah. So I'm having fun doing that. But then now, just as the story is rolled out and we here at Force Center have really focused on themes and what the emotional canon and connections through all the movies, some of these lines popped out more than they ever have before. So that's been part of the fun looking back, but then also going back and those initial viewings and what you were, you know, generally all of us were drawn to upon first viewings. And for me, it was, look at that, they explode, which has importance in this movie. So it's been fun just all the way around.
Yeah, a lot of explosions for sure, in a fun way. That was the favorite thing for me with Rogue One is, you know, we have described in the past on Force Centers, if it's not, you know, the favorite Star Wars film, it has to me the title the safest to bring up at a party. Because so many people absolutely love this movie. It speaks to people, and it seems like even people who dislike it or have some questions about it, nobody just really viscerally spends time critiquing, like attacking this film. Like it doesn't seem to make anybody furious.
It doesn't. Even back in the day, there was a little bit. And again, it did very well at the box office. We're 2 years into this new era of content and movies back then in 2016. But there were some discussions, but it was a different kind of discussion, right? It was a little bit more of, the second act this, or you could tell the Tony Gilroy and the reshoots, and why wasn't the trailer, you know, all that. That was more the conversation, and it really did just kind of flitter away and became just kind of this well-received movie.
Yeah, and I still think that for me, there are some parts of the film where it's like, ooh, I think there would have been room to go a little deeper on this character or a little deeper on this idea or maybe smooth out this transition. So I definitely have those. I have those for a lot of films, but Rogue One as a whole is so full of great visuals, great characters, and big ideas that I walk away from Rogue One happy every time I watch it.
Yeah, and my final thought on just the overall look at Rogue One is, yeah, it is almost to a punchline. I still have friends who make very funny punchlines of Catalyst. You need to read Catalyst, and you need to read the book. It'll make Rogue One make more sense, and that's often said with cynicism underneath it all. But it does speak to some things that maybe are present, but not as deep as they could be. Not necessarily, I'm not saying should be, as could be in the film. And the books around it, Catalyst, Rebel Rising, they do just such a great job of taking these characters and giving us more, more, more. And that's part of the fun, being a Star Wars fan.
Exactly. They give us more, but I think the movie does work all by its lonesome. So I'm excited to talk about it via its lines.
Let's go in where we as always work our way 5-1. We'll have some honorable mentions in there as well. Joseph, let's kick it off with your number 5 from your most favorite lines in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
This list was really hard, Ken, because my initial list was mostly just kind of weird fun lines. But there are a lot of lines with depth, a lot of lines that have really been ringing out and helping people, you know, I think define big ideas in Star Wars. So I did want to include some of those. So my number 5 is starting with one that I think really captures some important things about the film. And it's also just fun to say along with the character. My yes. Number 5 is save the rebellion, save the dream. Just the amazing weirdness of Forrest Whitaker's performance as Saw Gerrera. That is not a criticism. That is a celebration. I love that he's different and unique on that save the rebellion, save the dream. It's such a straightforward line, but there's just so much emotion to it in the way it's delivered. It comes in this kind of dark moment that fans have even discussed of like, well, why didn't he try to leave with Jyn, you know?
Right.
And for me, I, you know, I feel like that is about his earlier line of the, there's not much of me left. I think he means that both physically, how fast am I going to be able to run away? But more importantly, emotionally of like, I have given my entire soul. I have a sliver of my soul left because I have done so many violent things to oppose the empire and for the greater good of restoring, you know, actual freedom and peace to the galaxy, to end the suffering that the empire has, you know, created. So I feel like in this line, there is this great baton of hope is the way I often describe Rogue One. There are many lines, I think, that are part of that, many actions that are part of it. But I feel like Saw Gerrera isn't leaving because he sees that this spark has been awakened in Jyn Erso. And he trusts that he's done his part. He's delivered the message. And she is going to be able to save the rebellion, save the dream of the empire falling. I also just, the thing I've really been appreciating with Rogue One the last couple of times I watched it is that I think is in this line. It's easy to focus on, like, you know, this is the rebels versus the empire, but it really is the story of the rebels saving themselves. Normally when we talk about fear versus hope in Star Wars, it's because the Sith or other villains are trying to use fear to break people down, and the good guys hold on to hope. And to me, the story of Rogue One is all of the people, the rebels, Saw's partisans have been fighting so long and so hard that they're giving in to cynicism, to apathy, to the idea of like, yeah, there's no hope that this is going to work out. You know, General Draven saying, just kill him because there's no hope that he's going to be useful to us, you know? And I think the reason I picked this line partially is that this is the last, you know, some of the final moments of Saw Gerrera's life that he's led very brutally, that he ends with hope, right?
Yeah.
Save the rebellion from itself and save the dream that all of this was worth it and will restore a better galaxy.
Going all the way back to Ondron and the loss of Stila Guerrera and everything, and it's all in there. And this is, I think, what I love about Rogue One, and I'll say Solo, but Rogue One, it just invites you to connect to all parts of the Star Wars story and this rebellion and the Empire and the rebels and all those kind of things. And even the Force and the Jedi who aren't there. Tarkin at one point saying that's it. That's one of the last reminders. One of the last reminders of Jedi. It's gone. We're done. So I do love this line, and it's memorable, and it's quotable, and sometimes it's not quoted in with all the respect I think that's deserved. But
yes,
going to, and I love Forrest Whitaker's choice here, because going to, we often talk about, hey, this is one of the characters that the creators of this film said, hey, we need this type of rebel, and we're not saying this exactly happened this way, but essentially story group or someone comes back and goes, hey, you got this guy who George put in there. He's in the Clone Wars. And I think on the surface, especially when you're hearing this back in 2016, you can be like, oh yeah, it's a rebel. He loves launching rockets at kids and he's kind of on the edge. you know, he's gone too far and Mothma has that look, and that's all there. And the rivalry and war between Saw and Mon Mothma is tremendously intriguing. And I hope we get to live with it a little bit more. But also what this, Think of Cassian Andor saying, I, you know, all the horrible things I've done, I want it to be worth something. And you have Saw Gerrera, who's been fighting for decades, who is now, he's gone. He's given himself up, his soul, his body, his feet, his breath, his lungs. He is gone. He has given everything and he's got the hope it was all worth it. And that, as you said, the baton of hope is present at the end. And he sees Jyn crying before the hologram of her father. He knows, he has faith and trust that it has been passed on and his fight is no more. And there's just something, you take that and then you attach it to what Cassian's saying and what is one of the things prevalent through the movie of these horrible things we're doing, can it be worth it? Or we just can continue to lose pieces of ourselves. And then it all comes down to Saw saying, yes, the answer is yes, it's worth it. Choose hope.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it is. I understand that the delivery is something to have fun with. That's part of what makes me like it even more of I think one of the reasons that people like Rogue One is, in general, it's a little bit grittier. It's a little bit more down to earth, down to Jeddah. But I still like, for myself, that the slightly heightened, the slightly romantic, the slightly weird. That's a part of what Star Wars charm is. So these big ideas delivered in a slightly weird off way is just beautiful to me.
Absolutely beautiful. We'll talk a little bit more about Saw in the honorable mentions. There's one I might just toss it in the honorable mentions now because it is just aside that I just love the delivery of. It's everything about Saw for me. So that is your number five, and a great way to start the list because it's perhaps one of the most memorable lines from Rogue One. So we'll go to my number five, and I think another memorable line. It's a great meme. If you need to text it back to a friend in a GIF form, you got it because it's great. And it is director Orson Callan Krennic looking at the destruction of Jeddah and saying, "Oh, it's beautiful." Love this line. I love what it means. I mean, it's destruction and it's horrendous and it's the Empire, but it's almost the flip side of what you're putting out there with Saw. Is this all worth it? Yes. Choose hope. And here's this other side of our quest for power. The story of Krennic's middle management rise is so powerful. And I'll say it, go to Catalyst. You learn a little bit more about who he was, and he's not someone who I don't look at him as inherently evil early on in his life, meaning he wasn't out here to oppress. He's out here to do great at his job, and that's all. He's obsessed with it, and he's obsessed with it. And what he is, his obsession is what's destroying him. And along the way, this grasp for power is what's starting to oppress, is what's starting to destroy, and he becomes evil. I consider him an evil character, but I'm saying at some point he sets out to, I just want to do this, you know? I'm not trying to defend Krennic here, but I think you know what I mean. And then you have this moment of just this horrible destruction that you know is happening. We're seeing it on the ground. But also, by the way, all the people you just kind of saw in Jeddah are dying or dead at this point. And for him to say that, to be so blind to the destruction because all he sees is his own promotion, his own power, his own just monster of a machine that he's helped create and been leading on it. It is everything about the Empire and how you and I talk often about the light and the dark just manifests itself in so many different ways in Star Wars, and the dark side destroys. And this is a middle management dude in a nice cape destroying for nothing but simple proof of his power, not even his own power, just proof. I got power. I got more power. Give me more power. Can I get a meeting with Palpatine? Can I get this? Can I get that? And then he is, of course, in the end, destroyed by this. His obsession, his quest for power, he is destroyed by it when he looks up and sees the Death Star take out the Scarif base, and he's the first to go. So yep. I love what it means, and it's also, quite frankly, really fun to text back to people.
It really is. It is an extremely handy GIF. Extremely great delivery. Just so much charm from Ben Mendelsohn that sells it all, right? Yeah, no, I think there's that moment in Catalyst that really unlocked Krennic for me, where it's early on and he's really analyzing where he's been seated in a briefing meeting because it's all about status. And yeah, I agree with you that he's kind of like the company man, right? Who just like, look, I want to move up. I want to, you know, be the senior vice president of marketing. What does the company do now? I thought we made microchips. Now we're making giant lasers. Cool. Great. So be it. You know, that exchange early on when Galen Erso says you're confusing, I believe, peace with terror. And he says you have to start somewhere. Comes across as like this flippant joke, but it is also like a little bit of his attitude of like, look, I'm doing my project, you know?
Yeah.
And the, oh, it's beautiful does have this disconnect from the reality of the horror, right? Yeah. And it's like he saw the PowerPoint he's been working on, like the graphic designers got back to him and just showed him the PowerPoint. And he's like, oh, it's beautiful. Look at the way the slides work. You're like, it is that total detachment from the horror of what he has actually accomplished. And then that great, just sort of like visual poetry, this sort of like, I think truth of horrific things in real life, right? That the way that visual of the way that plume of fire and smoke is billowing up, it looks like, you know, if it wasn't destruction, it would be beautiful, right?
Yeah.
It is like this weird, like, you know, flower blooming across, like, so it's got that really dark, like, if you didn't know the truth of that, that's horror. Like, fire's beautiful, you know, when it's in your fireplace, not when it's ravaging a forest or somebody's house, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got a little bit of that vibe to it too.
Blooming red rose of death. That's absolutely got that. Yeah. Which I think adds to the power of the moment and the scene in the line.
Yeah. Great, great pick.
We're off and running. We got the light side. We got the dark. Let's see where we can connect them going forward. Or just have some fun with some really weird random lines. Let's dive in a little bit more with your number four.
My number four, we're still staying in the heavier section. This one had to be in my list because it was one of the lines that I left the theater thinking of, partially because of delivery, but also because of meaning. I went with the full line instead of just the one that that we quote as much. So here it is. My number four is, we don't all have the luxury of deciding when and where we want to care about something. Suddenly the rebellion is real for you. Some of us live it. I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old. The great sudden passion, like Andor, he's played so well, and he has played as calm, precise, you know, compared to Jin. He's the one who's been doing this. He's the one who's in charge of the plan. He's the one who's got the orders, but he's been this sort of simmering energy, right? And this is comes to a sudden boil. And I think that's a part of the power of that great delivery. I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old. And it's one of those lines that I think sticks with people because it also can be memeified, right? You can relate to it, right? Like, you know, I've made a joke in stand-up about that somebody tweeted at me a while back. This is several years ago of like, I wish Star Wars was still like when George Lucas was running it and everybody always got along about everything. And I had that reaction of like, oh, I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old. People did not always agree about everything. Like, suddenly the Star Wars fight is real to you, you know? So I think it is this relatable line. And I think a lot of people feel like they've been in some kind of fight since they were 6 years old.
Yeah,
it's so great and relatable in the delivery, but then just the importance of what is being said here. You know, think a part of the power of Rogue One is you absolutely can't just watch it as the Star Wars space opera, but I think it does it ties to real world things, and it to me a very important message that is true is. We see the story of Star Wars where characters are born into something often, right? Where Luke and Anakin are born into power. Rey is born into power. She has to, they all have to choose what to do with it. Han is born into his circumstances. They help shape him. And this argument that Cassian is making is like, yeah, Jen, I know you've been through a lot, but you don't know my story. And my story was I didn't ever get to look at the conflict and go, should I go off and join that?
Right.
It came to me. It came to my family. It's live or die. And it's been live or die since I was 6 years old. It's not. Which of these two ideologies do I prefer? Mm-hmm. It came to me based on who I am, where I was. I never had the luxury of deciding whether or not I cared. It's been life or death since I was 6 years old. It's really powerful. And I think has some great Star Wars implications, but also very important real world implications to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything about it. And that's why I think the allure of Cassian as a character is there. And I think it makes perfect sense to me that we're going to build a series around him. Also, just to say, we got a great performer, a great actor, Diego Luna, bringing this character to life. So yes, more time with him. But I see this too as this, you know, kind of almost de facto response to what she says early on when they first meet and they're at the Rebel base on Yavin 4. And she's like, you know, some of us don't have luxury of political opinions, which is just very dismissive. You get her point of view. She's, again, like you said, she's been through some things, but just it ain't the same and she's not seeing it. And this is someone who's choosing to look down. So it has all that kind of power. And then, you know, the detail that I've always loved focusing on this, Cassian came from a separatist family. All that, what that means to me is just that, the fights are the fights are it's very clear to Cassian, but you throw these labels on it there and it becomes intriguing because, I thought the Separatists were the bad guys. Didn't the Clone Wars teach us that? And then it's not necessarily what was there in the Clone Wars as you and I dive on in. Who was behind the Separatists is obviously what is tremendously dangerous. So just to see Cassian is seeing the fight for what it is and has always seen the fight for what it is because it's, like you said, at his front doorstep. It's just everything about it. It is this statement and sentence for who Cassian Andor is in this story, the rebellion. And then final for me, just why I do love it and his passion and the infighting. I just grew up in the 80s myself, probably like Jin, going, yeah, you know, rebels, easy call, good guys, you know, right? That's it. That's all it is. And here it is. It's almost deliciously complicated with Cassian and his upbringing and his view of the Jedi, his view of the Force, and all having to come together to save the rebellion and save the dream.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my number four. Cassian Andor has been in this fight since he was 6 years old.
6 years old, indeed. And then, all right, so he said all that, all right? He's got this going on here. And this happens a little bit before, so it's not a direct response. But I'm going to my number four. It's Jyn Erso saying, trust goes both ways. Now, this line, it's always been in the movie for me. I've always liked it, but I think this one hits me later in my Star Wars fandom. Because it's interesting, it's easy to look at Jyn and hear the stuff Cassian's saying to her. Hear what she's saying about it's easy if you don't look up to the thought of the Imperial flag reigning over the galaxy. She's got some lessons to learn. That's part of her journey here. A lot of it has to do with what she thought happened to her father, what she thought her father had done, all these kind of things she does live with and being raised by Saw Gerrera. I do love, and then she is, picked up on Wobani, wants to get free. She's kind of like, oh, damn, the rebels are after me. I got to go. Got to get out of here. Great comic beat with K2SO. But when they're like, okay, like, all right, cool. Let's do this. We're giving you an out here, Leanna Halleck, if that is your real name. And we need you to do this for us. It's clear it's important. It's clear it's big. She's very snarky, whether it's in the trailers or not. But, isn't that what you do? You rebel or all the lines that she says. I do like that she's kind of saying, look, you guys are all asking me to trust you. Do any of you trust me? Or am I just a pawn or a piece? What is it? You're sending me into this war zone with nothing. I need a blaster. And I think, the book detail is she takes it from a rebel soldier on the way to the U-Wing. And again, shout out to Alexander Freed for his wonderful adaptation with the Rogue One novel. It struck me a little bit more, Joseph, now, of her just going, it's not Jyn being snarky. It's her going, what, you all want me to do this? Including go my father who, until, at this point, she didn't even thought he was dead. And two, thought he chose the Empire over her. That's one of the reasons she was, a little angry about it all, being raised to believe that. Watched her mom die in front of her. Just give me something. Give me something here. And I thought it was pretty powerful. If you're going to move forward together, you and I just had a great discussion on trust in the Clone Wars on this past week's Clone Wars report. It can go both ways. Needs to go both ways.
Yeah, I really like that you're highlighting this one because I think it speaks to Jyn and Cassian's relationship that they kind of both have to communicate to each other. Like, this is how I got trapped in this war.
Yeah.
This is why I'm going through hell. And they get to this point of realizing that we're really kind of fighting for the same thing and having trust in this wonderful intimacy, by the end of the film. And this is kind of the first bridge to that too. But it also just really goes to some of the stuff we were talking about at the beginning that, the apathy and the cynicism is eating even the possibility of rebellion alive, right? It's so significant that Tivik's line is, Saw's right, there are spies everywhere. And he doesn't necessarily mean, there are people trying to overhear our rebel conversations, like with the paranoia that there are spies in the rebellion, right?
Yeah.
There are different factions in the rebellion and they're spying and all that. So that Jyn is, saying that, like, okay, if you want me to do this, then you have to do what is clearly hard for your group, which is to show a little bit of trust, you know, in me, if you really want this. And, you know, she's being a fighter. She's being a survivor, getting herself that A180 blaster. And totally making the argument like, cool. Yeah, you basically abducted me. You are dangling my freedom in front of me. If you make me go face a bunch of my trauma and put me in actual physical danger, then the least you could do is look the other way that I have a blaster.
And giving trust in a way for me is defeating fear in a little bit of a way, right? You know,
it's like
Cassie might have some fear about what she would do on this mission. K2 says as much. So, hey, overcome fear, choose hope, choose trust.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great pick.
All right, we are moving along here. That was our number four selections each. Now we are going to our number three choices. Joseph, what do you got?
My number three, I couldn't resist anymore. I had to go to some of the fun and snark. There is some good fun and snark in Rogue One. And this is one that has just really grown in my estimation. I got some of my classic faves in the honorable mentions, so I had to include this one. It is a Darth Vader line. That Darth Vader scene has the controversial line about the choking on the aspirations. Sometimes we kind of have a little bit of fun with that scene because it's this mix of like this ominous, amazing Fortress Vader lava castle. And then this weird kind of like, I called you here to chew you out. But this one line in here is just perfect Vader snark. And I think it kind of gets lost in the discussion sometimes, is when Vader is intimidating Director Krennic. And Krennic is, you know, kind of arguing and backpedaling a little bit in how forceful he's being about how the Emperor should understand that the Death Star has so much potential. And Vader's response, my number three line is, its power to create problems has certainly been confirmed.
Yes.
It's just so snarky of like, yeah, it's the Death Star is not even officially unveiled and it's already a pain in Darth Vader's ass.
Yes, keeping complete connection with him in the briefing room of the Death Star. He's just done with this. He's just done with it.
Man. Right. Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. Yeah, exactly. It goes right back to this line of its power to create problem has certainly been confirmed. And that's one of those lines like you can hear Hayden Christensen or Matt Lanter saying that line, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, even though he's not really Anakin right now, he is Anakin right now at the same time. It's a very Anakin and snarky line. And I think that's also a big thing for me that I've talked about before with the choking on your aspirations of like, I think Vader sort of weaponizes any sort of snark to intimidate, right?
Yeah.
And this is really intimidating. It's like, you're here groveling to me trying to get your due and I don't even like the damn thing.
Yeah.
So good luck.
Yeah. Right. Good luck. No, I think you're right. Like the aspirations line, you know, will it be on my list? No, it won't. But it also tracks for me more than I would have thought in 2016, just in terms of Vader, even in the original trilogy, he's got some unintentional or intentional comedy. If you want to look at it from Anakin's point of view or Vader's point of view. So I can live with that line, but it is a business meeting. We can have a little fun with that as Star Wars fans, but I do love this. I think it's great that you're highlighting the truth of Vader in this moment, the truth of who he is, and the truth of him being, he is on Palpatine's leash and it's almost like he's got to do his dirty work. But like you said, I don't even like this. And I got to clean up your dumb mess as opposed to if we, you know, me and my master could just go get our red laser swords and take care of business. Cause that's more powerful. I there's something about it. I like about the war of Vader in his own soul here in these moments too.
Yeah. It's just got, it's got a lot of really big, I got out of the bath for this energy, which I really love.
I came to my front door for this.
Yeah. So that's my number three. It's power to create problems has certainly been confirmed.
Love it. My number three is some wisdom from Sherritt Emwe. I really do love Donnie Yen in this role. So great. A lot of what he brought to it, you know, putting together his own action sequences as he should, and making the decision to make the character blind. It's something from him. And you could, one of the funny moments is his comment about, you know, when the partisans put the mask on and what are you kidding me? I'm blind. That's funny stuff, but he's got a lot of wonderful wisdom and you could go with the big one. You could go with, the calling card, the catchphrase that he says, but I really love when he is talking to Cassian Andor on Jedha and says, there's more than one sort of prison captain. I sense you carry yours wherever you go. I think that is just one of those lines that can go into real world real easily. It's one to think on. And for me, again, this wonderful character of Cassian Andor, who is from the beginning, just got a look on his face of like, I need to do this, but sometimes I question why I do this, which to me, the movie's answering that big why and reaffirming that why. But along the way, he's got a lot to deal with and a lot going on. And especially with Draven's orders running around in his head and him kind of sensing, is this one more thing I need to do? And for what reason? I don't know. It stood out to me as just some real straight ahead, important advice from Sherritt to Cassian, and therefore from Sherritt to all of us.
Yeah, and it is coming right around the same time that Jyn is at least partially, you know, being freed
mm-hmm.
from her prison, right? By yep. you know, after all these years of wondering, you know, is my father dead? Is he a horrific traitor? Did my mother die for nothing? You know, does anything have any point? And, you know, suddenly having some, you know, even the relief of the knowledge of the truth. Of
yeah.
what her father is, and you know, so obviously a lot going on in that that hologram moment. That line says a lot about Cassian, a lot about Sherritt, that he is this, you know, he's, I wish they would have dived into a little bit more of exactly who the Guardians are and exactly what their role is. Yeah, we know that they're supposed to guard the temple and the temple's gone, but we get to see through their action that Sherritt is somebody who is all about empathy, like in terms of like the active empathy of like, you know, like I'm listening to you. I'm feeling your vibe. He's even got that line of like, you know, he feels like a friend. The Force moves darkly around somebody who is about to kill. You know, he's got this like, I'm really aware of everybody around me and trying to be open and receptive and figure out what their truth is. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can. Like, I mean, he's a cool warrior counselor where he's trying, you know, to throw out these little observations that are maybe helpful, right?
Yeah.
And I think this one is one of them.
And
I think it crystallizes Cassian's character because he is, from the second you see him, he feels likable. He feels like Cassian feels like a kind soul
mm-hmm.
who is doing things that he does not want to do. And that cage is pretty obvious.
Yeah, pretty obvious indeed. And just stood out. And would it have stood out in 2016 as much as it does now for me? No, probably not, which is why I love revisiting these movies and reevaluating what parts of these movies connect with the larger Star Wars story. So that is my number three, which means we're up to your number two.
Yeah, my number two is also from Orson Krennic. It is one of the lines that I included because when I really came down to it and wrote my list of like 35 lines and said, I got to narrow this down a little bit. Like, what are the lines that I would actually, you know, quote? And I think part of it is the delivery as well as the meaning for me on this one. So my number two is, we stand here amidst my achievement, not yours. It's just the absolute losing it there, I think, mm-hmm. of, mm-hmm. you know, going from, oh, I'm in trouble. Oh, things are falling apart. Oh, we look at what I did at Jedha. It's all going great. And then Tarkin tries to take it from him, right?
Yeah.
And we've seen this kind of cool, collected customer when he is manipulating Galen, right? And Lyra back from the dead, you know, like, and then the mask drops, right? He's losing control and he is just furious that just like, did you see my PowerPoint presentation?
Yeah.
everybody agreed it was an amazing PowerPoint presentation, and somehow that means you're getting the credit, you're taking the project, the one I just successfully sold to the board. Like, it's just, it's so alive with that energy. I know you and I are both really on about Krennic being middle management, and it can be kind of a joke, but it is a fun thing to poke fun at because of its truth.
Yeah,
because of the horror of the banality of evil, right? He isn't Darth Sidious. He isn't like, I've had these ideas etched on my secret Sith walls for centuries. This is my philosophy. I'm manipulating the dark side of the Force. I'm not arguing that Sidious is better, but he's just like, I just go along with it. And it's about my vanity, my individual vanity, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that this line pops for me because of the delivery. And it would be an amazing line all by itself if it was just, we stand here amidst my achievement. Mm-hmm. But he ends it with that really petulant, childish, not yours.
look, give me Mendelsohn in Andor season two, I mean, or whatever. Like, give me young Krennic fails at business school, Disney Plus series. Mendelsohn is just an amazing performer without a doubt. And he just nails almost every line from beginning of the movie to this one. And I kind of view this, and I don't know if you kind of feel this way too, Joseph, this is a little bit with the same energy of Dooku looking over at Palpatine right before Anakin's chopping his head off.
Yep.
I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Ah, oh, damn it. This is what this gets me. This unbridled pursuit of power for the sake of power and my glory. And it got me this. You just stole it from me. Like, I love it. It's a trap.
Yeah. Just like that. And like a lot of these lines we've highlighted, where clearly they have depth and meaning to us, but they are also fun and relatable, to quote another context, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there are Star Wars fans who've been in literal board meetings who want to scream, we stand here amidst my achievement.
Look, this movie came out after I had left my day job, where I was in a management position for three companies at once back in the day. I would have loved just tossing Krennic lines out in meetings. But part of the lesson is, jokes aside, about this here is, you know, there's definitely some injustices in management's careers, and many isn't that. And it is a lesson for me personally to be like, to not be consumed by it. And what's driving you forward, and who are you in these situations? Because Krennic completely has lost himself in all of this. And when you put all of yourself into this and the pursuit ends in this kind of dead end, or this kind of trouble for you there, you are gone. What else do you have? So it's a little bit of a warning as well for me.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of a morality tale from Krennic there. Mm. My achievement, not yours.
Not yours.
So that's my number two.
All right. Well, we're going to go to my number two, and we are going to Bodhi Rook. And again, another performer that we as Star Wars fans, Riz Ahmed as Bodhi Rook, we are so fortunate to have these wonderful performers, these wonderful actors in these roles. That's one of the things I love about Rogue One as well. I'm going to this line in post-Borg gullet. So his mind's a little foggy. He's starting to emerge from that fog. Riz Ahmed, and I think famously he had some of his different takes on the audition are out there, right? I think there's like a compilation I've seen of, maybe it's even in the special features. I don't know. Do you remember, Joseph, where it's like him?
I don't remember seeing that.
It's an audition for, it's a self tape for Bodhi Rook, but he plays it different ways as a good actor would. Like, what if I do this way? What if I do this? He settles on this kind of bumbling, a little stuttering and stumbling kind of everyman nervousness, right? Which mm-hmm. he highlights how heroic he is. He is not the gallant hero. He has no laser sword. He's a delivery guy who is a whistleblower that essentially helps, because of his actions, it helps topple this empire. He's a pretty important character in Star Wars. And we have always loved that about him, and loved this idea of making it right, which is a big theme. And I've talked about it. I've written about it. I've celebrated that about the character of Bodhi Rook, and how it, in his final moments, making it right does not necessarily translate to glory. He is the opposite of Krennic. There's no, we are standing on my achievement here. He dies, and he knows it. And there's no going home to his family. There's no going home. He just only thing he does is he makes it right. So taking all that, which is something I've celebrated about Bodhi Rook since 2016, this line jumps out to me in a way that it never really has before, Justin. Where he says to Jyn, she's saying, you know, I'm Jyn Erso Galen. And then he's starting to emerge from the fog. He says, your father, he said I could get it right. He said I could get right by myself. He said I could make it right if I was brave enough to listen what was in my heart and do something about it. So in this movie that's asking a lot about why we fight and then how you fight and all these kind of things about taking a stand and all, a lot of it's a big and heroic, there's a lot of just little intimate, tiny conversations about taking the right step. And what I love about this is him saying, if I was brave enough to listen to what was in my heart. Cassian's got stuff going on in his heart. Jyn's probably got stuff going on in her heart. And Bodhi Rook is just a delivery guy who could just say, I don't know, I just work here. But there's something in his heart that wasn't right about this. And and having this conversation with Galen, that's what got him. Not save the day. Not go be a hero. Whistleblow. Do that. Because you know this is not right. And you're part of this. You're a small part of it. But what can you do? And are you brave enough to answer that call? It's not the call about standing up with a lightsaber. It's not a call about going in an X-Wing down the trench to the Death Star, which is all brave itself and gets you a medal. No medal.
Yeah.
No medal for Bodhi Rook.
Not even the swaggering rogue, you know, charming pirate of Han Solo. Just, yeah, a pilot, a day-to-day pilot.
Day-to-day pilot. It's your job. And you had the Imperial insignia, on your jumpsuit for this time. And I love this. And it's a powerful, powerful core part of this movie. This line right here. If I was brave enough to listen to what was in my heart and do something about it. That's what Rogue One's asking us.
Yeah, no, Rogue One is asking us in so many ways to really look at the truth of the situation, really see if you agree with it, what you're willing to do, you know, what you should do, you know, how to get right by yourself in lots of really interesting ways. And yeah, you can look at this sort of baton of hope in lots of different ways. You know, I love how it becomes literal by the end when they're passing that disc down the hallway from Vader. But you know, you can kind of argue that where does it start with Lyra inspiring Galen? You know, it starts with Galen making that recording and convincing Bodhi to look into his heart and for Bodhi to make his own choice. Right. Yeah. This isn't the story of your father has leverage. He's got some of his associates to kidnap my sister. And so like he talked Bodhi into Bodhi making this choice. And for this movie, Bodhi is where the baton of hope starts. Right.
Right.
Of like the terribly frightening thing of running away and then trying to contact this scary Saw Gerrera guy. And then like, I love his sort of, his innocence and his ignorance of like, are you Saw Gerrera? And like, I came here to give you this. Why would I lie? I came here to do this. Like with all the Borg Gullet stuff. It's really powerful to see that he is not like, I'm a weapons specialist and I'm like, he's just a pilot and that makes it, he's just every day and that makes it even more impressive. And, you know, this is a gift. This line that you picked is great in lots of ways, but this is a gift he's kind of given to Jyn, right?
Yeah.
Of like, yeah. I am more evidence that, you know, your father might have made some mistakes, but he is trying so hard to set it right, you know, is a gift to Jyn. And I think we've talked about this before. I can't remember if there's snippets of it in the novelization, but man, if they ever start doing Star Wars stage plays, I want to see the driving Miss Daisy of this relationship of how long did this conversation slowly emerge, right? As he's flying Galen back and forth. I want the stage play flying Galen Erso. because in my mind, we know that Galen's been planning all of this for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And now the weapon's almost done. He's got to get the information out. And how is he going to do that? And now that he's become a good liar, how is he slowly poke? I don't think this is an afternoon, right? I don't think he leans over one day. He's like, do you want to make things right? I think it's a tell me more about yourself, Pilot Rook. You know, where do you come from? Why are you with the Empire?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Have you ever seen anything that you don't like? You know, like I think it's a not a seduction because I think he's being honest with Rook, but I think it's a slow building of trust.
It's absolutely. Oh, gosh, that's a great stage play. No, it'd be real powerful because obviously, you know, initially he's going to be like, no, no, everything's great. I got a good pay, crappy benefits. I haven't got a raise in 3 years, but I got a family. And I, it's no small coincidence to me, especially as you're hearing you discuss this angle on this story, Joseph, that Alexander Freed comes in with the Rogue One adaptation, gets to play around with some of these characters, gets to play around with the everyman who makes his decision based on what he feels is right in his heart, and take that to the Alphabet Squadron stuff with the Emperor and the Sentinel droids and this idea that Palpatine this whole time has been tracking all of you in my empire to see which one of you is going to fudge a report. Because, you know, which one of you is going to steal something from the breaker and which one of you is going to slowly start to oppress people and how it all and Palpatine's looking at that because Palpatine wants to know when you hear the voice in your heart, which direction do you go? Because that's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting it there and Freed kind of pulling out that emotional cannon from that and connecting it to the big story there in Alphabet Squadron. I love that. And again, don't think it's a small coincidence.
Yeah, no, and I think Rogue One is such a big, important part of Star Wars, where Star Wars absolutely does tell the tale of people who are born with massive amounts of power, you literally calling Anakin a chosen one. But Star Wars has always been the idea that, well, we're all kind of chosen ones, we can all make a choice, right?
Yeah.
Baked into the first film with Han deciding to turn around, and then I think Rogue One really brings that to absolutely the surface and surface and Bodhi being one of the biggest symbols of everybody matters.
Everybody matters. Riz Ahmed, so great as Bodhi Rook. So you know what? I've always thought maybe, you know, that might be a one and done for Riz Ahmed in Star Wars, but you've just pitched something wonderful, Joseph. You've got a stage play. Mads and Riz live on Broadway, driving Mr. Urso. I love it. Okay, jokes aside, but that's not a joke. That's serious because I want to see it. We are going to take a quick break here at Star Wars Rank. When we come back, some honorable mentions and our number one choices here at Star Wars Rank. Stay tuned.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Star Wars Ranked, episode 133, an ongoing ranking series here on Four Center. We are looking at Rogue One, a Star Wars story, released December 2016. Where were you when you first saw this movie roll out in front of you? Well, we are looking at our favorite lines. Joseph Crimshaw and I have ranked our five through number two choices, but we are going to now throw in some honorable mentions. Man, Joseph, there's a lot to choose from, and this is where I think you and I got to play around with some of our favorite little random lines, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my very favorite lines, I have been going on about this guy since 2016, because he's just such a symbol of some of the problems there. Senator Noor Jebel, you know, classic Star Wars character. This is the scene, of course, where Jyn is making her appeal, trying to convince everyone that the Death Star is real, and unless they act on it now, this is their one chance, their last chance at a hope of stopping the oppression of the Empire. And she's met with everything from mockery to doubt to my favorite line here from Noor Jebel, straight up denial. The line is, "A Death Star. This is nonsense." And for me, it's the picture of, yeah, when you're presented with something so awful, it doesn't even seem like it can be real. Mm. It's such a way out to just go, it's absurd that it's even happening. I don't even believe it. The people are screaming the sky is falling, right?
Yeah.
And this line is so like, yeah, they built a giant floating gun and they called it a Death Star. This is nonsense. Totally made up. Yeah. Fake news.
Fake news. It's a hoax. And you all have, you're all run by fear. But meanwhile, I have so much fear, I can't face the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's got all that depth to me, but the actor just delivers all that. Like, I'm a serious person and this is BS. It's so, so well. And after all of us living with like the great heightened space fantasy romance of a Death Star, it's also fun to have somebody just go, "A Death Star? This is nonsense."
Including Galen going, "It's called the Death Star and there's no better name." Like we all grew up with it, right? We also grew up with a character named Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. This is kind of silly nonsense, but we've all just lived with it as seriousness. And so that you're right to have this serious story about rebellion and empires and oppression and death. And someone be like, "Oh, come on. What you can tell me his name's Han Solo because he travels alone."
Yeah. Solo. This is nonsense. A debate for another day. I think most listeners know where we fall in that debate. Anyway, so I love that line. I love what it represents. And it's just a fun line. Death Star. This is nonsense.
Yeah.
K2SO has a lot of great comedy lines. I'm sure you're going to highlight some as well. My favorite is when Jyn is in the heat of battle on Jeddah, just blows away a droid who looks exactly like K2SO, and then K2SO shows up and has that very hurt, "Did you know that wasn't me?" I like all of K2SO's humor. Some of it, I think, for me, feels like, I don't know, like it's just like there's a fun snark to it that works. It's great. It fits his character. This feels, I like jokes that have some emotion to it. And this is like the actual horror of like, I know we've been fighting. And I know I wasn't sure about you, but would you really just straight up shoot me in the street?
Yeah.
Has an extra level of like actual emotion and stakes to it that makes it really funny to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of quippiness in K2, and it's
there.
And
you go.
Yeah, and I love all that. But yeah, some of them have more meaning and weight, and I think and make that to me makes them even more funny. And this is absolutely on that list.
Do you know what the odds of are if you're using it? It's high. It's very high. That's funny. It's great, yeah. But it does come across quippy, and this one feels a little bit more real. Like, holy crap! Did you know that wasn't me?
Totally.
Yeah. I know this character will be featured. He is a favorite around these parts. You have really shared your great love of Admiral Raddus. I love him too. This line, though, is one that's always stuck with me. And it's just, there's some great ones from him, but I love it when he says, "Engage those Star Destroyers and let's start probing that shield." It's just this rich command. You know, it's the energy we love of Admiral Raddus, of slapping that fin down. I say we fight. Let's go. Let's do it. We're here. We're doing this. That's great. That energy that you want from the rebellion, you know, to counter all that apathy and denial and fear. Admiral Raddus brings that. And so that energy is here in this line of like, well, we're in this middle of the battle. It's not going well, but let's do these things. Combined with probing that shield, like it makes perfect sense, but it's just funny phrasing.
Yeah, and probing is a dangerous word to toss in there. And the funny side for this is voice actor Stephen Stanton, very active in the community, and a lot of people have had a chance to interact with him, and I have as well. And when I first met him, he was appearing on Collider Jedi Council, and I excitedly got him to say this line into my camera so I could text it to you, Justin. So him being very, oh yeah, that's great. He's so nice. He says it. I think he just says, "Let's start, Joseph. Let's start probing that shield." I get it, and then he looks at me and goes, "Wait a minute, what's this for?"
I don't know if you told me that part of the story. Like, I have that video. I treasure that video.
You know, later on, I get to know him and his managers a little bit more. But there I'm just some rando YouTuber talking to him, and I go, "Oh no, it's just for my friend. I'm not posting it anywhere." And he goes, "Okay, yeah, that's good. Okay, yeah, yeah, you can go with that." So it's a line that's very funny.
It's got great energy, but it's so funny. And yes, thank you for getting that personalized shield probe video, which I love so much.
Love that. There, a couple more then for you, and then we'll switch it up here.
Yeah, I mean, it's the next one for me is the famous line from a trailer that didn't make it into the film. I rebel. I do like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can discuss, is it canonical because it was not in the movie? But yeah, right. The I rebel is great. People have tattoos. A couple other for me. This is a Mon Mothma line. She's got a lot of great looks. She's got some great lines. But I really like when her and Bail are discussing, like, well, whatever the Alliance says, war is coming. They can try to avoid it, but it's going to come one way or another. And she says, "Your friend, the Jedi." Bail's got some great lines about he's serving the Clone Wars and all that. But just Mon Mothma saying, "Your friend, the Jedi." There's the weight of, yeah, it's time. Call Obi-Wan.
Yes.
It to me is in that line, and the sort of the discretion of these old friends who've been through it. And like, yeah, we've both said we wouldn't reach out to him until it's the bleep is really hitting the fan. And, you know, I don't know. I just love it.
And now is the time, to quote Obi-Wan back.
Yes,
to
my exactly.
Absolutely. I know you got a couple more on your list, but I'll jump in here.
Yeah, please do.
Lyra saying, "Trust the Force." So that's great. And we've been talking about trust and what that really means. But remember, going into 2016, there was a big debate of, or going into Rogue One in 2016, kind of that debate of, can a Star Wars movie not have Jedi and lightsabers and the Force? And I just kind of, you know, I remember being part of those discussions too. It's a fair question to ask, but I love the movie starts, and here's Lyra going, "Hey, here's this crystal, trust the Force." Oh, hey, the Force is still here. Force is going to be here.
Yeah, that it is not that stuff. It can't be separated out. Some people don't focus on it, right?
Yeah. But
it's kyber crystals that are powering the Death Star, and this is a faith that some people like Lyra have. So yeah, that is really great.
Yeah, I love that. I know there was some early development of maybe Lyra would be force sensitive or whatever, but I like kind of where we land on that one there. And Lyra is a great character. I wish we had a little more time with her, and that's where Catalyst does come in, and you get to some great Lyra content there. Yeah. Going to Cassian, we've got a lot of lines. This one was a more serious tone, but I wanted to highlight it because it almost made me list, and it's him saying to Jin in those conversations you were referencing of just, you're not the only one that lost everything. Some of us decided to do something about it. It's just real plain and simple. It's really important. It does acknowledge what she's gone through, but saying, what are you going to do about it? But I think some of the other bigger lines just kind of expand that thought, expand those themes a little bit more. But, Cassian, he's got a way with words and getting right to the point.
He really does. He is an accurate marksman with his words as well as his blaster.
Yeah. Yeah. So that one there. And then, I love Raddus for a lot of reasons. We're not done discussing that, but I do love in that briefing scene, and it's not going well for her because one of my other favorite lines, let me just jump to this favorite line, is some rando in the background yelling, "What is she proposing?" is just up there with my favorite random Star Wars lines. Absolutely love it. And I love that everyone's debating it. Noah Jabel's doing his thing. Senator Pomlo's doing her thing. And then I just love that Raddus just goes, if she's telling the truth, we need to act now. Flip her down. Flip her on the table. Boom, boom. I'm here to fight. And here's why. Because if that's true, we have to do something. And it is Raddus in a nutshell.
Yeah. And I think that's the power of this scene and a part of the power of the story of Rogue One, and it doesn't have to be war. The energy to, we need to do this now, it doesn't have to be about war. It needs to be acknowledging any problem and going,
yeah,
ooh, it feels more comfortable in the moment to go, yeah, it's not real, or I'm sure it'll work out. I mean, don't forget the initial plot from Mon Mothma is, before Draven gets involved, is we're going to try to get Galen to testify in the Senate, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like, Palpatine's going to allow that, or even if it happened, you know, like, mm-hmm. how much it's still, they're still trying to play by the rules, you know?
Yes.
And Raddus having that clarity of saying, hey, look, nobody wants this, but it's the only option. Let's go.
Let's do it. Flipper on table. Let's go. A couple more from me, and I'll kick it back to you here. I love Cassian also saying to Jin a little bit later after this moment here, I couldn't face myself if I gave up now. And look, again, we've been discussing it. Is this all worth it? He's been in this fight forever. You got Saw Gerrera and an example of what happens when you give up every bit of yourself for this cause. You have Bodhi Rook answering that call to that voice in your heart. And Cassian's mulled all that over in his head. And it's just like, nah, I can't be done. I can't be done. I'm going to make this worth something because it is worth everything. So I love that line too from Cassie.
Yeah, great button to his speech, which is the log line to his show, I believe, of all the things that he has done, saying that they were for a greater cause. He's got to follow through.
Yeah, more to come. I think we have a ton of honorables between us here. I do love Bail Organa just saying in that scene with Mon Mothma, and here's Mon Mothma going, it's time to press the fire alarm button and get your Jedi friend, right?
Break glass for Obi-Wan.
Yeah, break glass. And he's like, yeah, you're totally right. I'll have my daughter do it. My teenage daughter's going to do it. And essentially Mothma's just kind of like, yeah. And he's like, I love his response. I would trust her with my life. It's just, it speaks a lot of Bail, who he is, Breha as well, and how Leia was raised. And trust is something that's big in Rogue One. It's big in Star Wars. And there it is again. And he has all the trust in the galaxy in her.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely great. Great pick.
Yeah. A couple more for you here.
Yeah, this one almost made it in my top. Is really hard not to, but it's the exchange between Saw and Jin. It is just so crisp and direct of you can stand to see the Imperial flag ran across the galaxy, and Jin saying it's not a problem if you don't look up. Mm. I think what is so extremely strong and powerful about that is Jin making the statement of it's not denial, right? It's not bargaining. It's saying, I have made the choice for apathy, right? Yeah. Of, I know things are bad, but it's not my problem. I'm not going to do anything about it, right? And it really sets the stage. And I think it is, it's just very, very powerful in Star Wars and, very powerful in real life. It's not a problem if you don't look up.
Yeah, and I just even love saw that you can stand to see the Imperial flag arraying across the galaxy. There's just something, that's an epic line.
Right, yeah, that has got some of like the romance and the adventure serial of Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Final two for me. There's a lot in Jin's speech to the group as they make it to Scarif, as they're flying to Scarif. But if we can make it to the ground, we'll take the next chance and the next, on and on until we win or the chances are spent. I think it's a great line that really highlights of like, everybody on this ship says, this is make or break. This isn't something that we're like, we could go back to our daily lives or we could choose to do this.
Yeah.
It's, we're in this fight. This has to be done. We're willing to give all for it. Mm. It's got that great weight and resolve to it. But it's also just like, I feel like that is also a relatable line when you're not talking about the horrors of war. Like, I mean, if somebody moved to Hollywood, it was breaking in and was trying to, ask me how to do it. I was like, well, here's a line from Jyn Erso. Take the next chance and the next and on until you win or the chances are spent. Like it's when you break it down, it is also just kind of good life advice to, just about anything. Like, well, keep trying and be happy that you still have another shot, you know?
Yeah, no, there's some real world ramifications indeed. In a lot of ways. I love that line. And think about that line. And I'm glad you included that because that was probably going to be in my honorables, if not the list itself, and prepping the show. But I saw you loved it. And, I'd like to think I've grown and matured as a Star Wars commentator from 2016 to now. I was a young 40 back then. I was on many shows, including Force Center, saying I just didn't like a lot of the trailer clips of this, what ended up being this sequence. And I thought, I don't know, this seems really heavy handed and I didn't like some of the, I don't know. And I've long since moved past that because I just love so much of this movie. But it's this actual particular line that makes me love all about that sequence because she's not standing up, sword in hand, shield in hand. And I do love those kind of big speeches. I love anytime Aragorn's, yelling at the knights before they charge. I love that stuff. This is that spirit, but it's delivered in this very, very just honest, raw, tears in her eyes kind of way. You know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's the really not trying to promise something, right? I love how much it isn't the like, we are born warriors. You know, anything we look at will fall at our feet. And like, the just total honesty of like, this is what the deal is. This is what fighting is.
Yeah.
And I'm being totally honest with you.
Yeah. And it's very Star Wars-y. It's like keeps in line with a lot of this. Like we wars not make one great. We're not here for that. And by the way, I'm not comparing and contrasting its other big speeches and big shows and everything and movies, but I just love it. And I love the way it was delivered. I love the choice. I love the tears. I love the pause, the gulp in the throat, like, or the chances are spent. And then we all know what that means, but we're all going to do it. And it's made me just love that sequence way more than I thought I could have loved it in 2016.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said and in great contrast to different kinds of speeches from different kinds of characters. My final runner up is, the line that everybody quotes all the time, take it, take it. I wanted to highlight in some way that hallway scene. It's mostly not dialogue, but that rebel who accepts that door's not opening, I'm not getting on the other side, but this thing has to.
Yeah.
And yells, take it, take it. That's great.
But baton of hope indeed. All right, a few more for me. I swear this is that we're gonna get to our number one choices. This is a very quotable movie. Really is. So I love K2SO. You talk about the jokes. I love everything in there. I love the quips. I love his character. His death affects me still. Like it gets me. I love there's a lot of tension going on. We're approaching Scarif and they're talking about, if the shield doesn't come down and they'll all be in space, you'll die in space. I forget the exact setup lines, but K2SO just going, not me. Long pause. I can survive in space. It is quippy, but it is the final beat of humor from him, before the war explodes. And I've always loved that line.
Yeah, no, it is a great line. I really like that one.
When things start exploding around and Krennic, the man who is slipping down that corporate ladder really fast, The rebels. I love the shot you see out the window there. Gord is at his side, and just the explosions are going off, and he yells, "Are we blind? Deploy the garrison!" Just the frustration of, we're losing this game, aren't we? Like, he already knows he's done at this point.
Yeah. And garrison is one of those words that when I was a youngster, you could have told me was a made up Star Wars word. I didn't know what that word meant. I didn't know it was a real word. I just thought it was really cool. Yeah. When Vader talked about it, it'd be unfortunate we have to leave a garrison here. Yeah. Garrison just sounded really cool to me. So I was like, yeah, I'm an old school garrison fan. So I'm really happy to hear.
Love
deploy
it.
The garrison.
Deploy the garrison. It's just a delivery. One of the other ones I'm going to toss in here, I mentioned when you're talking about Saw earlier. I love, love, love Forest Whitaker's performance and his choices, and it's bonkers and it's crazy because it's not really Saw anymore. It is this pieces of this shattered soul and this body, and he can't even breathe, and it's not unlike Vader in some ways by design, you know. But I just love watching him as an actor, when he says that line, when Jin is kind of giving him the, hey, what for, you abandoned me. And he kind of says, look, you had a gun and a blaster and I knew you were good. But I love his line when he says, I didn't write it down. This is trying to go from memory here you were the daughter of an Imperial science officer. And he's foaming at the mouth and he's choking on his words almost. And it's such just a raw, natural delivery. It's a great little performance, and him just kind of saying, don't you understand what was happening? I try to do everything, and he ain't perfect. Saw is not perfect in a lot of ways. I just love you. In hearing you talk about Saw earlier, that popped in. I've always loved that little line.
Yeah, no, and it does get elaborated on in books, but you can understand it here of like, yeah, I didn't trust the other people I was running around with because the rebellion at that time was just a bunch of cutthroats banding together from Saw's perspective. And I didn't trust those people to figure out who you were.
Yeah.
So I left you behind. It is awful, you know?
Love it there. All right. I swear to God, we're not going to hour two of honorable mentions. Pow. So I had the subtitles on. And I swear I've never picked this up. And it's also canonically incorrect, by the way. Pow, who I love, Pow. Pow's a great character. That big mouth, that great shotgun kind of blaster. So when the AT-ACT shows up, which is a great little sequence, he yells, and you don't really understand it, but when you have the subtitles up, he says, Carabast, AT-AT.
We all heard the Carabast, right? Yeah. Because we've been hearing that on Rebels at the time, right?
Right, right. But it's just like, you know, and so number one, it's incorrect, but I guess in that time, in that moment, I would love to be the Rebel soldier that goes, it's actually an AT-ACT. It's a transport.
All-trained armored cargo transport, Pow.
I just love that little moment. And then, yeah, anytime Carabas shows up, it's great. So I love that one there. A little swear word. All right. Final sequence. Swear to God. The end of the movie, towards the end of the movie, Cassian and Jin have done what they need to do. They have sacrificed everything. And the Death Star hasn't quite fired yet, but they get the message out. And I love the exchange of, do you think anyone's listening? Jin says, I do. Someone's out there, man. It's inspirational. And I take it. Yes. It on the surface is, did our message get through to those ships above us? But I also take it a little bit. If you follow me down that path, Joseph, of what the end result was, some of the broom kid stuff in Last Jedi and why we need legends and why we need heroes. Do you think anyone's listening? I really take that as the galaxy as well. Is anyone listening? And I do. Someone's out there. Our message will get out and the fight will go on. We might not, but the message will. I just love that for this movie.
Yeah. And I think it's such a great line too, because there is obviously the word hope gets used a few times in Rogue One. It is about hope. It is about hope versus fear versus apathy versus denial versus all these things. But that idea of hope in the movie is a conceptual ideological thing, but it's also a personal thing about the trauma that Jin has gone through. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's part of what's so powerful about this is do you think anyone got the message literally? But do you have personal hope for that? We made a difference. Right.
Yeah.
In that, to me, that's what she's saying is like, yeah, no, I do, you know, I have hope that someone is out there listening.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. So that's the discussion. No, we each have our number one choices. I will go first so Joseph can wrap up the show with his number one choice. But my favorite line of dialogue in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. I've been saying it since 2016, so you're all going to hear it now. I promise not to go on and on about this line, but I'll explain a little bit more of how and why. It is Admiral Raddus, and it is his line coming out of hyperspace to save the day, to begin to save the day. This is Admiral Raddus of the Rebel Alliance. All squadron leaders report in. It's a nothing line. It's just functional. It's what you would say. It's you're about to go into fight. So let's do the roll call of squad leaders. It's something we've heard in Star Wars before. It's what he would say. I've always loved and gone on about what this line means to me, Joseph, of it is this proclamation, not of just war, it is, but a proclamation of we are the Rebel Alliance, because we've just spent 2 hours with a Rebel Alliance that is tattered and it is broken and it doesn't know the best way forward. And I'm not even saying Raddus has been perfect all along the way. I know he and Ackbar don't get along, you know, there's some heat there. But we love what he represents. We love what the character's there for. We keep making the joke of him slapping that flipper down and saying we have to act. And I love, by the way, love Genevieve O'Reilly's sly smile when the word comes to her. Raddus is gone. He's gotten his fleet and he's fighting, and she smiles in that sense of it's here, war's here, and this is what we need to do. I have always taken that too. But here's why. See, a lot of you have heard me explain why. We in Force Center, Joseph, as the moment you stepped to the table, we're always like, let's focus on themes. And Jennifer and I followed you on the adventure, and it's only made my love of Star Wars bigger and bolder and deeper. Just what are these movies and these stories and these books and these comics telling us? So I'm there for that. But I've always been a person, too, that looks at these stories. I've explained it elsewhere, too. I remember explaining in an argument on Collider Jedi Council of like, no, I watch these movies as if they're living history documents. And when it rolls out in front of me, to me, that is the answer of what happened. So I don't get hung up on too much of my speculation didn't work or what if or they should have done this. I don't view it as movie making. I view it as a story that I almost believe is real because it inspires me and it continues to pull me in. And this moment represents so much of this journey that I've spent my whole life watching this rebellion try to fight the Empire and having daydreams and stories and what is it like in the opening crawl of New Hope and springing out from a secret rebel base and striking out from that base to make this attack. And I finally get to see it. And it is at the darkest moment in the film. All hope is lost at this point. Our troops on the ground, Rogue One, it's not going well. And that shot, it is such a Star Wars nerd chills shot of boom, X-Wings come out of hyperspace, the Profundity and just Rebel capital ships come on out and boom, Raddus is there. When he says this to me, it is saying that we are now in this fight. We've always been in it, but now we know how, because the best way is listening to that voice in our hearts, and we're here, and this is the war, and Raddus dies. It doesn't go, it's everyone has sacrifices for this fight. And it just moves me on that level. It moves me for the Star Wars story. It's a big moment wrapped up in this line that isn't, we're here to save the day. It's just saying, I'm Admiral Raddus of the Rebel Alliance, and we're here. And that is the most important action.
Yeah, no, I think you really nailed it. Of the it has, even though it's a functional line, it has the energy of you are not alone, right? Mm-hmm. We're the Rebel Alliance. We banded together to do something about the horror that's being inflicted on the galaxy. And I am following through on what I committed to and what you all on the ground are bravely doing. And you are absolutely not alone, right? This is a different version of Yahoo. You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home. This is a different version of, you know, but there are more of us, Poe. There are more of us. That moment of just like relief and fist pumping heroism, because you're not alone in trying to do the right thing. Someone's got your back, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what, so Admiral Raddus has such short screen time, but it is just that energy, right? Like he reminds me of like mentors or slightly older friends that I've had who have got this, like, I've got myself together. Yeah. Yeah. And when you're struggling, hey, if so-and-so is going to swoop in and be there, then things are going to be okay. Like he's it's not just the forward energy that I say we fight, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the energy of like he'd say that at a bar over trivia, right?
Yeah.
He's got this like older mentor who has everything figured out, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's in this line too, of the fact that it is just sort of functional, of like, this is Admiral Raddus of the Rebel Alliance. All squadron leaders report in. No BS, let's get it done.
Yeah. We're doing it.
Yeah. I see. I see you've asked me to help come over and move your apartment to another apartment, but you're not at all organized. This is Admiral Raddus of the Professional Moving Company. Let's go. Form a line. You know, it's just got that. We're getting this done. Energy.
Getting it done. We're getting it done. And it's such a great Star Wars moment. It's such a great going back to the playgrounds and playing and being part of the Rebel Alliance. And I think that's the final note for me. Of, I'm not lying, folks. I can occasionally work myself up in tears for this moment, because also I just think my connection and all of our connections growing up with the Rebel Alliance, the good guys, the good team. It's Leia's squad. It's Han. It's Luke. And it just kind of, I just kind of accepted that as like, it was an easy choice for all of them, because that's these fairy tales. That's what happens. You go fight the fight the dragon. And I love that Star Wars, especially as time has rolled on, going back, as I always cite, to the Return of the Jedi novel, in describing the character of Mon Mothma, lays all this out. That it was fractured, it was infighting, and she needed to sacrifice her position in the Senate. She needed to step forward as the leader, and that's in the DNA of the rebellion back in '83 in this novel. But I didn't focus on it as much growing up. Just focused on grab your lightsaber, grab your blaster, go fight. Yeah, it's easy, it's easy. And Rogue One is this movie that's saying it's not easy. We acknowledge that, but this is the most important thing, and we are the Rebel Alliance. So that is it. That's why I sometimes watch that, and Grace will come out and be like, "Are you okay? Why are you crying?" I'm just really like, "It's rad." It's Raddus.
I love it. I'm having a Raddus moment.
That's my number one choice. Joseph, what is your number one choice?
My number one is, I bet people might know just by the process of elimination, it is one of the most famous lines from Rogue One. It is, of course, from Cassian Andor, and then quoted by Jyn Erso.
Yes.
But I think it is from both of their hearts, and it is, rebellions are built on hope. This is such an important idea and such an important line in Star Wars. We talk a lot about hope versus fear. It is about how you look toward the future. You know, there's so much about Star Wars that's about looking to the future. One of the most famous moments that I think really grabbed a lot of people is Luke staring out of those twin suns. And is he filled with hope about the future, about the possibilities, or is he afraid of what might happen? Hope versus fear is such an underpinning of so much of Star Wars, and Rogue One gives us this different kind of fear. It is fear of physical death, but it is also just apathy and cynicism, and you know, it's the idea of hope for, well, maybe if we can get to this Galen guy, and maybe he's not that bad of a guy, and we can get him to testify in front of the Senate, maybe we can get enough people in the galaxy going, wow, this is wrong. Versus the fear from Draven, right? Of like, he's just a risk. Kill him, you know.
Yeah,
the hope versus fear battle is very different in Rogue One, and it makes this idea of hope even more important and to me less saccharine, right? Rogue One earns its sense of hope, and this line itself is also about that trust being built between Cassian and Jyn to get to this moment. And I love that it's almost the first presentation of it almost has a little bit of energy of comedy, right? Of Cassian's telling Jyn the plan on Jeddah. And it isn't like this great, I've mapped everything out and we'll all be okay. There are no problems. Nothing can go wrong. It's this like, well, I'm gonna try to get to this person and ask them this thing. And that should hopefully, if that tiny thing works, you know, it's basically Jyn's speech of like, I'm going to take a chance. And then if that goes, I get to take another chance. And I keep taking chances. And Jyn's, you're like, that's your big plan. You're hoping for something.
Yeah.
And Cassian's like, yeah, rebellions are built on hope. And then Jyn, you know, goes through this adventure, and it's, you know, it's so great that she's quoting that back to these people who are having that same fear of like, they, you know, Vast Vasper and Noor Jebel, like they want everything to be laid out and perfect. What is she proposing, Rando, whoever that is? Like, make us feel safe. Make us not fear the future, you know? Mm. And And she is quoting back to Cassian, like, I can't make you not fear. We don't know what's going to happen, but we have to have hope that if we try, we can make a difference, right? And I think what this line communicates so much to me is, when you just say the word hope again and again, or how are you going to solve this problem? Hope, you know, get just a greeting card that says hope, and it can feel saccharine. It can feel insincere. It can feel like, what does that even mean? Right. And I think Rogue One backs up this line by illustrating this idea that, you know, hope isn't the solution. Hope is what you need to just keep fighting for the solution.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, basically saying, if there was an easy 5-step plan full of safety to get rid of the Empire, we would have all done that. We can't have that. So instead, we fight and we scrape and we take every little chance we can get, and we hope that we can keep fighting.
Yeah. This is the choice. It has to be the choice as our final discussion point, because I think this film from 2016 to now, you know, the hope, the use of hope is heavy handed, right? In a sense, right? It's like Cassian.
Absolutely.
He stops and says it. Jyn stops and says it. It ends on Leia saying it. And then it's easy to go, oh, yeah, we get it. The next film's a new hope, 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 hope. I think this is one of those cases. And I think the movie was essentially saying it, but I think even more now, as Star Wars grows on and people have different opinions, Star Wars fans have different opinions on what's there in these movies for all of them. I do think there's a little bit of the energy of George Lucas going, yeah, I put these movies together about hope. You didn't get it. And here's why. And let me try to explain why. George doesn't have anything to do with this film, I know, but it's so connected to the heart of that kind of stuff. And I just think that's why it works for me now. And everything you're describing is so right of just, it isn't the solution. Again, going to my thoughts on Raddus of it isn't that we're here to win. It's that we're here. And that's the victory, and that's where we're built from. And that all comes from hope, and Star Wars being about hope and hope versus fear. It should be this. It should be the line. And Cassian, you get points for saying it first.
Jyn deploys it. Jyn comes to believe it. Jyn gets credit too, but let's not have the Cassian erasure. that is both of their lines, right? That's part of the power of it, right? Is that she is saying it to them, but she's also saying it to him, right? Yeah. To go all the way back to your great points about trust, and their line of trust goes both ways. Like they have come together, and this line is a symbol of it.
Yeah, absolutely indeed. And it's, so as the core of this movie, it's the core of Star Wars. And that is why it is your number one choice and our number one choice for our favorite lines in Rogue One. Wow, Joseph, that was quite a list. I think we knew we were going to go a little bit here. Rogue One, look, you talk up top why Rogue One is so well received. There, you know, and again, not without, I could go into some second act thoughts. Whatever. This is what we hear in this movie. It's powerful and it's important to Star Wars. It's been a fun journey going over all this stuff with you here today, sir.
Completely agree. Yeah. Like I said earlier, I could have, here's this thought about Rogue One, here's this thought about Rogue One, but the overall effect is so powerful. That I'm right there with so many other Star Wars fans. I really love this film. And it was really fun to celebrate the big important ideas, the tear-worthy moments, and also just the fun, wild delivery.
What is Joseph proposing? We have fun about talking about Star Wars. All right, friends, we're out of here for this week. We are the Force Center Podcast feed. We can be found on Twitter, Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. You can get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. And you can get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. Don't forget, we're in a lot of different spots, including Amazon Music and Spotify. If you don't like using the big old Fruit Machine anymore, but we're there as well on Apple Podcasts. You can find me at Ken Napsok or my website, kennapsok.com. Have upcoming comedy dates in Washington, D.C. in December. Check the page there for more information. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
Yeah, you can follow me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. Engage your computers and start probing that social media if you want. And you can find all of my other comedy adventures on my website at josephscrimshaw.com.
Do it, my friends. Do it. So for Admiral Raddus, for Cassian, Jyn, K2, Sherritt, Baze Malbus, and of course, Bodhi Rook, and all of the rebels who are rebelling, all the rebels who are rebelling. That's it for this week. Star Wars has been ranked.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.